Incorruptible Word of God. Ezra chapter number 6, we're going to start our reading in verse number 1. It says, "Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Shemetha, in the palace that is in the province of Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, that the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and that the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones, and a row of new timber. And let the expenses be given out of the king's house." Now this verse number 5 is where I definitely want to take my text. I love this verse. This verse has become fresh into my heart lately. But verse number 5 says this. It says, "And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is in Jerusalem, and brought into Babylon." I want you to notice these two words. "Be restored." "Be restored and brought again." I'm so thankful for agains in the Word of God, ain't you? I'm so thankful for that. "And brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and placed them in the house of God." You may be seated. We realize that the book of Ezra, I'm in a long introduction, short message tonight. I want you to pray for me. But we realize that the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, we know that these are books of rebuilding. We realize that in the book of Ezra, what we're reading tonight, that they begin to rebuild the house of God. They realize that the house of God was important. I think we need to relive that lesson in the day we're living in. I still believe that the house of God is very important. Y'all can amen me right there. Y'all can get with me tonight. I know Brother Jeff and Preacher Scott's gone, but y'all can amen me too, alright? It's not a sin to grin. You don't have to look like you're about to kill me, alright? Alright, well, we also find that they're rebuilding the house of the Lord here in the book of Ezra. And then in the book of Nehemiah, we find that they're rebuilding the walls. We realize that them two books, first of all, we see remembrance. That they remember that there used to be a day that the presence of God was felt throughout the nation. Help us to remember tonight that there used to be a time where the presence of God was felt throughout the nation and felt in the house of God. We also find that there's recognition. They realize that times was not like they used to be. They realize that somebody has to do something in order for God to move. Can I tell you something? We need to realize times is not like they used to be. And if something's going to happen, God's going to use His people. And it's about time we got busy doing something for God. We find also in these books that God sent revival because they got busy doing what God has for them to do. I do believe we need revival in these days more than we ever needed it before. We also find, and I'm getting to where I'm going, we also find rebuilding and restoration all through this. They took some things that were not quite how they used to be, and they ministered unto them. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while. I just want you to think about this on the thought, consideration about restoration. Consideration about restoration. Don't be scared of that word. It is a doctrine. The doctrine of restoration. And I want you to examine this word and just preach for a little while on that thought. I want you to know that the word restore is used 66 times in the Word of God. Restore means to bring back, to refresh, to repair, to come back, to return. Can I tell you something today? We don't like talking about these people. I guess we're trying to erase them out of our minds. And I guess we're trying to forget that they ever been a part of us. But there have been some people that have claimed to be saved. There's been some people that have been on the same church pews as us, in the same church as us, and we all know some, and they left church, and they left the will of God, and they went out to the far country. Anybody, raise your hand with me now. Anybody know a prodigal? You're related to a prodigal. You know anybody that used to serve God, that used to do something good for God, and now they are no longer in church tonight. It's a pitiful situation. It's a situation we don't talk about no more. I guess we think, well, since they're no longer with us, we should just forget all about them. But God is still a God of restoration, and it's God's will for them to be restored. Why is it that it's easy for us? If I ask Trent, does God want to redeem people? He would tell me yes. He said, can God redeem that person? And I asked Trent, I said, Trent, can God redeem that person? And Trent will probably say yes. I can ask Trent, I said, can God revive that person? Trent will probably say yes. But we get somebody that hurt our feelings and went against us and left us and left church and quit God, and they're not standing for what they used to stand for. We look at them and ask Trent, can God restore them? Everybody's looking at me funny. You know why? Because you know where I'm going with this. We think about them and we like to think about their faults and their failures and what they did do and what they didn't do. But we don't like to think that God wants to restore them. Do we want them to be restored? What are you saying? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be completely honest. I believe the church is producing more prodigals than the world is. What are you saying? I'm saying this. We neglect them. We fail to minister to them while they're here. We fail to love on them while they're here. We're too busy in our cliques, in our posses. Yeah, we're Baptists now. We all have our little cliques and our little posses. And what are you saying? I'm saying this. And we're failed to minister to them while they're here. Then when they leave and pack up and go to a far country, then we say, I wish I was back in church. Oh, do you now? Do you wish us back in church? Are you going to treat them the same way you treated them last time? Lord, help us. Let's continue in the message. But we find so many times those examples of restoration. We realize that God gives us examples of doctrines all through the Word of God. The first example you find of restoration, and I believe one of the first, is Naomi. Realize that her and her husband left Bethlehem, Judah. They left the place of bread, went to Moab, the place of bitterness, and the place of sin. But guess what? When Naomi come back, everybody said, is that Naomi? Is that Naomi? What would you do if the people you've been praying for came back, huh? Or do you even pray for them anymore? Why is it that we treat our prayer requests and our prodigals like items from the Goodwill? We don't pray for them no more, but we ask the preacher to pray for them. Where are you going with this, Timothy? When you donate something to a thrift store to Goodwill, you're donating something that you have neglected for a long time to somebody that's going to take better care of it than you did. We ask the preacher to pray for them, but we don't pray for them. Pray for this one, preacher. He's out of church. Pray for this one, preacher. He's making wrong decisions. When's the last time you asked God to help him? Some of the most times I ever saw God move is when God answered a private prayer in a public church service. You know why people ain't getting excited about the prodigals coming home anymore? Because I haven't been praying for them. No doubt when they said Naomi's back, they've been praying for her and longing for her to come back. We also find in Luke 15 the three parables. The first parable is the parable of the lost coin. And this lady loses her coin, and she had 9 other pieces of silver, but she gets concerned about the one. It's about time we got concerned about the empty spots in the pews. So when she began to look for it, she began to find it. And when she found it, she gathered everybody together and rejoiced. We shouldn't look down on them when they come back. We shouldn't say, well, I know what they did, and I know what they did, if everybody knew what you've been doing. Yeah. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Everybody was rejoicing because that coin was found. The collection of coins was not complete about the one. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. If I get my thumb chopped off tomorrow, another one ain't growing back. They're part of the body. When they leave an empty void. They leave an empty void. We also find the parable of the lost sheep to where the shepherd went out. And he left the 99. He left being comfortable. He left the numbers. He left everything you'll be concerned about. And he went and he found that one. It's about time we got out of our comfort zone. I know you don't want to. I know you're not desiring to. But you get that prodigal tomorrow and you text him and say, "Hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. We miss you at church. When's the last time you've been in church? Would you like to come eat breakfast with me one morning?" Oh, what are you saying? You mean we're supposed to treat them good? Can I tell you something? They're not going to come back unless they know they're missed. We're not showing them they're missed. I want to ask you this. When's the last time you talked to the prodigal you have in your head? Because I can see every one of y'all have a prodigal in your head you're thinking about. When's the last time you talked to him? Do you know? Can you remember? But can I tell you, I'm so thankful that though we're here gathered right now, that God's wooing the other sheep back. As we're in service, He's wooing that other sheep to come back home. What a God. Nobody took that sheep. That sheep left on its own. Such as the prodigal son did. He was disrespectful to his father. He took everything he had as a blessing for granted. Anytime we leave God, we're bypassing the blessings of God. He took everything the father had for granted and he left. Can I tell you something? I understand something here. I understand his citizenship changed, but his sonship did not change. Can I tell you something, friend? You know, them people you run down for making bad decisions, they're just as a son of God as you are. They're just as a child of God as you are. So the father went out, that son realized. He realized something here. He realized that he was alone and needed to go back to the father's house. And the father met him halfway. And the servants loved on him. When he come back, they begin to wash his feet and begin to put his robe on him. Can I tell you something, friend? I'm glad the father woos. I'm glad if you make one step towards God, he'll make a big God step towards you and take you back home. I'm thankful for that. But can I tell you something, friend? When he come back home, he had people ministering to him. He said, "You know what? I don't care how you got those scars, but I'm going to help your scars heal a little bit." We want to know everything they've been into when God just called us to minister. We're just to help. That's all we are. We're just a hired help. He bought us with His blood. And that's all we are, is a hired help. It ain't our business to know everything that went on in their life. It's our business to help them.
Amen.
I'm going to move on. I'm going to deal with this. This is going to get a little bit rough. I'm going to get my message in a second. I haven't even started preaching yet. I want you... Some of y'all are like, "Ah." If y'all keep looking at me a little bit, I'll take my glasses off. Couldn't see none of you. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice something. This began to break my heart. I hear these phrases everywhere. Here's a list of some phrases that I heard people say about prodigals. They look better going than they do coming. "We are better off without them. Well, they never did anything while they was here anyway." My. "Well, they're just like the rest of their family." Lord, help us. "I hope God takes everything they have away." Or do you now? "Well, they probably wouldn't even saved." Oh, so since when could you tell if someone was saved or lost? That phrase, "they look better going than they do coming." I believe people say that simply because they get a little bit uplifted and prideful about how good they're doing when they see someone else fall. "We're better off without them." No, we're not. We need them. "Well, they never did anything while they was here." How do you know? How do you know if they wouldn't do nothing for God? Well, they're just like the rest of the family. We all have people in our family. That's rough and that's bad that people compare us to. But let me tell you something, friend. We have a lineage far greater than the earthly lineage. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't look at somebody and say, you know what? They're going to turn out just like their family. Because God is bigger than generational sins. God's bigger than that. Restoration. Consideration about restoration. I just want you to think about that as we go in the message. Look back in our text, verse number 5. I want you to see, first of all, the proven. And also, let the golden and silver vessels. Golden. And see, we know that gold reaches its purest point and its most priceless point when it goes through the fire. I see that sometimes it's the proven that become prodigals. Sometimes it's the preachers that become prodigals. Sometimes it's the Sunday school teachers that become prodigals. Sometimes it's the laymen in the church and the people that testify in that scene. The people that have been through storm after storm, trial after trial. And everybody says, wow, there's something special about them. Wow, there's something valuable about them. They can become prodigal too. And as sure as you point your finger at the prodigal, there's many fingers pointing back at you, because it's very possible you could be in the far country by the end of the week. Some of y'all's in the far country right now. You're not here to serve God. And you know you're not. You're here for somebody else, and you're in the far country right now, and you know you are. And next thing you know, you're going to be a used to be. I preached at church the other day and they had a wonderful youth choir. I got up and I said, you know what we need? No more. We don't need no more used to be's. There's too many used to be's, Ethan. We need somebody that's going to say, you know what? There's too many that's left. I'm not going to be on that list. I ain't going to be the one that makes my preacher cry. I'm not going to be the one. What happened to them? Well, they used to do this and they used to do that and they used to do this. Now I don't know where they're at. Lord, help us. We find that not only is it the proven, I'm going to deal with this, it was the paid for. Silver vessels too. Silver, also the Bible, is a picture of redemption. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Just because somebody leaves, I'm going to hit some people here, because I'm going to be honest with you. I hear things just like everybody else does. I mean, I hear things from the grapevine like everybody else does. But I'm getting sick of this stuff to where they go out in the far country for a little while and we call them lost. I understand now. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this right now. I understand that if they can stay in the far country their whole life and never get drawn back to God and never have that drawing, there is a big possibility that they've never been saved. I understand that. I realize that. But at the same time, most of the prodigals we have really are prodigal sons. Yeah. They really have been saved. They really have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. And see, I think it's easier for us to deny. Well, what we do is we deny our relation with them when we call them lost. We're so ashamed that they're doing what we've been thinking about doing for a long time. It got quiet, didn't it, Trent? We're mad that they're doing what we've been secretly craving to do for a long time. And now we're trying to deny a relationship with them, saying he was never my brother anyhow. I got a question. What if we messed up and God denied his relationship with us? Wouldn't that be bad? Understand that we're eternally kept by God, but what if God treats us how we treat the prodigals? You know what? You messed up. Mama, I don't know you. We're done. Our relationship is over. My. We saw the proven. We saw the paid for. I want you to see, next of all, I want you to see this. I want you to see the potential. It says, and also the gold and the silver vessels of the house of God. Vessels. These things have potential to be used. Well, you're saying they have a potential to be filled. Samuel, one of God's best men, I preached most of his ministry on the Spirit-filled life. Yeah. Why? Because there's nothing more useful in the kingdom of God than a Spirit-filled believer. I understand we get filled with the Spirit when we get saved. I understand that. A lot of preachers misinterpret that. But when we let our flesh reign in our life, we don't exemplify the Spirit-filled life. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. Those prodigals, they have potential. You don't want to meet it. You know, I preached one time and I got to thinking about all the people that done me wrong. All the people that done me wrong and all this, and we all have people that do us wrong. And I got to thinking about how we always focus on the negative about them. I got to thinking, Lord spoke to my heart, why don't you just name some positive things about them? So I'm like, you know what? I can't stomach that person, but they can flat out sing. It started helping me, Miss Dotson. I can't stomach that person. I can't stomach that boy, but he can preach. He done this to me, but he works every day to provide for his family. Well, they done this, preacher, and they done this, and they done this. But you know what? You know, that person, he can talk to anybody. He has the gift of gab. He can be the next soul winner. He can be the next preacher. My, my, my. There's potential in the prodigal that you've been praying for. There's potential. Don't give up on them. There's potential. God has a plan for them. We also find the place, the house of God. God has a place for them. We realize that Naomi's place was the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. We realize that the sheep's place, the little lamb, his place was in the fold. We realize that the prodigal son's place was at the father's house. They all have a place. Can I tell you something? I could count how many people I know that was on this church pew and they left. And I understand different circumstances and everything. But can I tell you something? Something that God showed me. Let me tell you something. My mama used to sing behind that pulpit. And I realized something. It don't matter how much you do in front of people. It matters what you do in private. But I noticed this, that God is still calling her back to a place. God's still doing it. God's still doing it. And God's calling your prodigal back to a certain place. The past. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to see this. It says, vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple. Took in the past tense. He took them out. And there was nothing they can do about it. Let me tell you something. You don't want people digging in your backyard of the past. Why do you want to dig in everybody else's? We don't like when people bring up things in our past. But we like digging in everybody else's past. Can I tell you something? What those prodigals did? They did it. It's done. It's finished. What are you saying? They can't go back and change it, even if they wanted to. So why are we holding it against them? My, my, my. Some of them beg God for the opportunity to go back and fix it, but they'll never get that opportunity. Brother Trent, he's been saved since he was a kid. He went out in the far country. He sowed his wild oaks and he did some things. Let me tell you something. Now he's preaching the gospel. What are you saying? I'm saying this. What can God do with your prodigal?
Go ahead.
Some of y'all haven't thought about your prodigal until I mentioned them tonight. I didn't think about mine until God gave me this. We see the place. We see the past. I'm so thankful. We get up here and we say, all my sins are forgiven. My past is erased. I am what I am because of His grace. Why are you looking down on everybody then? My, my, my. Let's keep on reading. We also see the place. We see the past. We see the place of confusion, which is at Jerusalem. And brought unto Babylon. Babylon simply means confusion. Can I tell you, why is it that people that used to dress right, used to listen to the right music, and I'm going to hit this because it needs to be hitting, preachers that used to preach the gospel. Preachers that used to do right. People that used to do right. Why are they doing the complete opposite now? You ever notice that when a lot of people leave church, they go buck wild? They just don't do it halfway. They just don't do it a little bit. They go absolutely buck wild.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they wandered into the place of confusion. They're confused. Now they think everything the preacher's been preaching them is strict and too harsh. And preacher's just taking it too far. And preacher's just trying to control everybody. That he's trying to be like a pope. They believe that now. Why? Because they're confused. They're confused. They think that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. I'm so thankful that God wants to restore those confused people. And then maybe they can testify and say, you know what? I've got in the far country, but God restored me and God's people welcomed me back with open arms. We also find, I'm about finished, I feel like I'm drowning tonight. We also find, we see the place of confusion. I want you to see the possibility of restoration. It said, be restored. I want you to put the name of your prodigal right there. I'm going to put mine. Sharon can be restored. Dwayne can be restored. Put the name of your prodigal right there. Can it happen? Can God restore him? Yes, He can! The God that brought the sheep back, the God that brought Naomi back, the God that brought the prodigal son back, is the same God we serve today. Can God bring them back? Yes, He does, and He wants to, but do you want Him to? My. I'm so thankful that the God that redeemed my soul, the God that wants to send revival to my home and my community, is the God that's willing to restore me when I go out and do wrong. I want to ask you this. When's the last time you heard preaching on restoration? Have you heard it in the past month? Raise your hand. I don't see any hands. You know why? I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times as preachers, we get so bitter at the prodigals that we don't want people to care about them. Y'all's looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's the truth. We couldn't care less about them, so why are we going to tell others about them? Lastly, their place, which is at Jerusalem, everyone, the particular place, to his place, and place them in the house of God. Everyone to his place. God, what are you saying? They can't be used anymore. They've done something that if God did call them to preach, they can't preach, preacher. They can't be used anymore. What can God do? Can I tell you something? God has a specific ministry for them. I think of men that have went out, ruined their life, and then God called them to preach and they couldn't. Them are some of the most spiritual men I know right now. What are you saying? I'm saying this. God is interested in restoring your prodigals. Are you interested in Him restoring your prodigals? When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you thought about them? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come pray for them tonight? Won't you come pray, God, I know You can bring them back. God, I know You can restore them. Won't you come call out their name to the Lord tonight? Everybody raise their hand saying they know a prodigal. What you going to do about it? You're just going to know them to the day you die and not try helping them? You're just going to scroll through your contacts and say, nah, I'm going to text one of my friends. Scroll right by them. Are you interested in God restoring your prodigals?